on me? It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me? What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm Jordan in the clutch, boy. You bitten on me? It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me? What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about?
All righty, guys, that was Pull Up Tay on the intro music, and we are back for a Black History Month edition. First week in Black History Month of February, man, you know what I'm saying? We're going to switch things up a little bit. We don't have a guest today. We're going to give you guys a really deep, in-depth look. We're about a month away from the NCAA tournament, so Drew and I are going to take, you know, a deep look at a lot of these conferences. Across the country, man, we're gonna give you guys, you know, an extensive look at some of your favorite conferences in the mid-major landscape and start getting you ready for the NCAA tournament, man. So, first of all, like I said, it is Black History Month, so happy Black History Month to all my people of color out here, man, all my black folks. Want to wish you guys a, you know, happy Black History Month. We're going to celebrate this month as me and Drew and some black brothers getting to it, you know what I'm saying? So, definitely got to give a shout-out to all my people of color, you know, watching this right now. We're going to have a great month celebrating Black history. As always, I want to make sure we give a shout out to my guy, Pull Up Tay, on the intro music. Make sure you guys are streaming his music, man, out on all platforms. He got a new music video out called New, featuring Moco artist Nas the B. So make sure you guys are checking out their music, man. Those two guys are up-and-coming artists from the area, man. And then, as always, we want to make sure that you guys are please engaging with our content, man. Share, retweet, give us a rating, man, a like. Tell a friend, man. Spread that good gospel about the auto bid, man. Me and Drew are in here working extremely hard to get you guys this content, man. So any share or anything that you guys can do to kind of help us to grow this brand is greatly, greatly appreciated, man. So with that, man, I want to dive into it, man. I know Drew is going to start with the Mac, man. So, Drew, man, what's our Mac update this week?
Yeah, man, I think, you know, the most surprising MAC result this week, was Marist. You know, Marist was able to get a win over Siena this week. You know, they were able to win the first game 55-54 in a typical John Dunn rap fight, you know. They held Siena to 36% shooting from the field, 26.9% shooting from three. You know, the Siena's newly minted three-headed monster, because not just, you know, Pickett and Camper anymore. Jalen King has officially arrived to the party, you know, but those three go combined 9-for-37 from the field. Neither one of them gets in double figures. And I mean, that was really all she wrote. You know, if you have your best three players, you know, none of them get in double figures. They never really were able to get things going. Marist is able to steal game one, 55-54. And then Siena is able to rebound in game two. You know, Manny Camper does bounce back with a 19-13 game, you know, carrying Siena over Marist. But in any event, man, you know, Marist, like I said, shout out my guy, Coach Surge, man. He's the guy who tells us about Marist, you know, from the beginning of the MAC season, to put some respect on their name, you know. And then we're able to get a big-time win over Siena, man. So anytime you can beat, you know, the number one ranked team in the conference, man, that's huge. Obviously, like I said, we know what John Dunn is able to do defensively, man, and it never fails, man. You know, I mean, he's great at getting his guys to play hard. You know, they never have the best talent. They're never gonna have a guy that's gonna go out there and, you know, get 30 a night, you know. But they do have guys that play hard and they defend. You know, other MAC news, you know, Niagara and Monmouth played to a split. That moves Monmouth to 8-4. They're now in third place in the MAC. And St. Peter's was able to get a sweep over Manhattan. So that moves St. Peter's to 6-4 in the MAC. You know, they're currently in fourth place. Obviously, we know Siena's still sitting at 8-2 in first place. But, you know, Siena sweeping Manhattan, those are my MAC updates for this week.
Yeah, man, I actually watched that second game, Siena and Marist, over the weekend, and I was really impressed with Marist, man. This, obviously, we've been talking a lot about Siena and how, you know, they're you know, for lack of a better term, they're pretty much the best team in this conference. But Marist really fought, man. Both, I mean, obviously, they were able to get a win in game one, and it looked like for a while that they might even be able to pull up a sweep there. I mean, the game was close all the way until the last couple minutes. Obviously, you know, they started fouling, and it ends up being a 13-point game. But, I mean, this is really a 2-3 possession game, you know, the whole way. really until the end. I mean, in a game, in the second game, you know, nobody scores in double figures. You know, I mean, this is a typical, like you said, John Lynn performance. I mean, in game one, they get one guy in double figures. Raheem Sullivan scores 13 points. He's a leading scorer. I mean, this is a win it by committee type of team. That's how he did it at St. Peter's when he was over there. And he's doing the same thing over at Marist. I mean, they're 7-7 in the MAC right now. So they're right in the thick of things. We talk about, you know, being able to stay around 500. And they're doing just that. I mean, if they can, you know, continue this trend, I think they're going to be in play for a top five seed in the MAC tournament, be able to get that first round bye. They're currently in sixth place, but I mean, Kanisha's just 3-3 in fifth place. So, I mean, they're essentially tied for fifth right now. Both of those guys are at 500 in the league play. Kanisha hasn't played a game in over a month because of COVID pause. They were supposed to play Quinnipiac this weekend. Obviously, Quinnipiac drives all the way to Buffalo and can't play. So, Kanisha hasn't played a game since January 2nd. So, it's literally been a month. It's February 3rd now. They have not played a game. So, they're going to be a team that's kind of, you know, going to have to find a rhythm whenever they do, you know, find a way to get back from this COVID pause. But definitely very impressed with Marist, man. I mean, they're a team that wasn't picked very high in the standings, but they passed the eye test for me thus far for sure.
Yeah, man. I mean, one thing we know for sure is that defense travels. You know, defense travels. And, I mean, they were able to get that win, you know, at home. But, you know, one thing for Marist down the line, man, I mean, I remember when John Dunn was at St. Peter's and he took, you know, that team with Nick Griffin and, you know, Sam Adou and all those guys to the semifinals, you know. And I mean, they weren't, you know, the best talented team or they weren't, but they defended and they just kept winning, you know, because like I said, if you can defend, man, that travels, man. So definitely keep an eye out for Marist, man. And I mean, ace, man. You're talking about Quinnipiac goes to Buffalo. I mean, hey, in this coronavirus pandemic where you can't go anywhere, you can't. I would love to take a weekend getaway. You know, get to sleep in a hotel. You know, nice pillows. They go to see Niagara Falls. You know, some guys that have been there. A nice tourist attraction. I mean, even though Buffalo, it's no Miami. You know, it's no you know sunshine is up there, but they do have Anchor Bar in Buffalo. With them wonderful Buffalo wings. So I'm sure Coach Dunleavy took them guys right over to Anchor Bar and got us some nice wings like we did when we was in Buffalo the night that nice Marriott hotel, because you know we love the Marriotts. You know, we bougie at Quinnipiac, always staying in the Marriott to get the nice pool up in that Buffalo Marriott. You know what I'm talking about? It's right there by UB. You know,
that hotel is definitely a favorite. We got some great memories in that hotel over the years, man. But I don't know if I'm be too pumped up about a 7-8 hour bus ride. One, they weren't even flying; they drove to Buffalo and did not play a game. I mean, imagine sitting on a bus for 8 hours to go to Buffalo and not play a game, then have to drive back without playing a game. I mean, I'd have called up Niagara. I'd have probably called up UB and said, "Yo, we didn't drove 8 hours. Somebody gonna play us. Somebody's gonna play us. We ain't drive 8 hours to sit in the hotel room. There's no way." No, Buffalo, I mean, we got what, like 6-8 inches of snow down here. So I know they probably got slammed up there over the weekend in Buffalo. I mean, that's not a weekend getaway that I'd be looking forward to in February. Buffalo, I think I'll pass.
Well, nonetheless, you know, the bus ride is probably less than ideal, but I would do anything to get a change of scenery, you know. So, nonetheless, I don't think those guys were too mad about it. You know, as long as they got some Anchor Bar, as long as they got some wings, I'm sure it'll be all right.
We're going to have to check up with Coach Dunleavy on that, because if they didn't get Anchor Bar, then that trip was definitely a waste, in my opinion. But the biggest win of the weekend for me, in my opinion, man, Winthrop is no longer undefeated. UNC Asheville goes to Winthrop, and they earn a split in night two of that back-to-back, and they knock Winthrop from the ranks of the undefeated. Winthrop is now 14-1 in the Big South. UNC Asheville goes on the roll, and I actually was able to watch that game. I watched the first game, and Asheville almost put up a crazy comeback in the first game. They were down by about maybe like 10, 11 points, and they cut the lead to about 2 points. They had a shot to tie it at the buzzer, and they missed. But, I mean, they really competed in both of those games, played extremely hard, and they were able to get a win in night two and to knock Winthrop from the ranks of the unbeaten. I'm sorry, Winthrop is 13-1, not 14-1. They're now 13-1 in conference play, 16-1 overall. But UNC Asheville, man, they're sitting at third right now, the Big South at 9-5. That was a huge result for me because Winthrop was playing extremely well, but they've been getting tested, man. And obviously, they weren't going to run the table. I mean, assuming so. I mean, it's extremely hard to run the table, man. But to see that result was surprising because Winthrop actually had a shot in the end of the second game to try to send it into overtime. So that was extremely surprising for me to see Winthrop go down to UNC Asheville.
Yeah, man, I know UNC Asheville, man, they got a defensive-minded coach up there. You know, they play that Havoc style. They press full court. They get up in you. So, I mean, it's hard to kind of, you know, if you're Winthrop, man, I mean, if you're going against that for two nights straight, you know, I mean, it's tough to sustain the level of play for two nights, man. I know, like, when you have a coach like that that, you know, gets on his guys, and I believe the coach at Asheville came from VCU. So I mean, you know, they're a team that plays extremely hard on the defensive end. And like I said, man, defense travels. So, you know, they were able to go up there on the road and get a win, man. Cause like I said, man, you can't bring a jump shot everywhere you go, but you can find them puppies wherever you go.
Nah, that is a big fact. That's probably, it's tough when you lose those close games on night one. But, I mean, Asheville was never winning that game. But when you lose a game when you had a chance to win, and it's sometimes hard, as we've seen this weekend, to kind of come back and get that win in night two. But Asheville was able to do it on the road at Winthrop. It's always tough to win, you know, in Rock Hill. So that was definitely a surprise. Another one that was a big win was Wofford was able to get a win over ETSU after losing to Citadel. I watched that Wofford game and they lost to Citadel, and they were destroying the Citadel for about maybe 15 minutes in that first half, and Citadel closed the half on a crazy run. They pulled within, I want to say, like 4 or 5. Citadel then opens the half on a run. They go up by double figures, and they never turned back, man. They were able to beat Wofford. Wofford was able to rebound against ETSU, who was tied with them atop the SoCon at the time. So that was good for Wofford to be able to bounce back and get that win over a very good ETSU team. And the SoCon is going to be fun. We're going to talk a little bit about them later. But right now, man, there are four teams all with two losses atop the SoCon. Wofford, UNCG, ETSU, and Furman all have two losses. Wofford is at 8-2. UNCG is 7-2. ETSU is 6-2, and Furman is 5-2 atop the SoCon, man. So it's gonna be a fun stretch heading down the stretch in the SoCon, man. But that was a big win for Wofford to bounce back and beat a very good ETSU team.
Yeah, man. I think those four teams that are at the top, they are teams that we expected to be there. You know, I'm not really surprised with any of those results. Those are four teams who all have pedigree. They've all been to the tournament in recent years. I'm pretty sure, like I said, I know ETSU, obviously Wofford, UNCG has been there, you know, so, and we know what Furman's capable of doing when their program has been on the rise, for the past couple of years, man. So, no surprise there. I think that's definitely going to be a fun one, down the stretch, man. We also had some crazy results, man, this weekend, in the CAA, man. I think, and first of all, William and Mary swept Towson at home this weekend. You know, Towson was at home, excuse me. And William and Mary sweeps the man on their home court, man. I don't want to butcher this name, man, but, you know, freshman Connor Cashera averaged 26.5 points per game over that weekend series. I mean, he had 23 in the first game. Then he followed it up with 30 ball in the second game. Now, Towson was without the Ualamo brothers for the weekend, man, but this is Towson's fifth straight loss after starting 2-1. You know, we were obviously able to watch that Towson team sweep UNC Wilmington, and you know, they turned that around with a weekend series against Hofstra, dropped both of those. They went to JMU, dropped that game, and now they dropped two against William and Mary. It seems like Coach Scare has made a couple lineup changes. They got Demetrius Mims now in the starting lineup. Like I said, the Ualamo brothers did not play in this season. I'm not sure if that's to injury or, you know, otherwise, but Towson's got to figure it out, man. You know, right now, you know, that brings them to what I think they are
2-6 in the CAA.
Yeah, 2-6 in the CAA now, man. So it's going to be tough setup for those guys down the stretch, man. So they're definitely going to be in need of some wins. Hofstra was also able to get a sweep over UNC Wilmington this weekend. They're now 7-3 in the CAA, good for third place.
And another man, I mean, this the JMU team, man. They get another win. They were able to beat Drexel this weekend, man. They're 4-1 and good for second place in the CAA, man. So, I mean, I think JMU is a very sneaky team, man. Delaware was also able to get a sweep over Elon. They're now in fourth place. So, you know, you got Northeastern, JMU, Hofstra, Delaware, and the CAA right now, top 14, man. But JMU is real sneaky, man. I think that they're a team that we're going to have to watch out for. Obviously, they got that win at Northeastern last weekend, man. And, I mean, they're continuing the roll.
Nah, JMU is for real, man. I mean, they swept Towson. They got a win, as you said, over Northeastern, and they've beaten Drexel. I mean, four good teams in the CAA, man. I mean, they're going to be a player. I mean, I for sure didn't think they were going to start the conference play like this, but they're 9-5 on the season, man. So this isn't a fluke. You know, they've won games. Obviously, they got that new big arena over there. It's probably motivating them players a lot to, you know what I'm saying, go out there and put some performance together, you know, because it's if you haven't seen it, it's an absolutely beautiful facility over there at JMU that they built, state-of-the-art, brand-new arena. And they're getting their money's worth, man. They're getting some wins over there, man. So definitely shout-out to JMU for getting it done, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, hey, you know, everybody trying to look sweet, you know. So they probably definitely in there, you know, playing with a little extra swag, man. You know, but we also had a surprising result in the NEC, man. Perry Dickinson was able to get a sweep over Bryant. You know, the Bulldogs fall out of first place, you know, in that game. Meanwhile, LIU was able to get a win over St. Francis Brooklyn, moving them into first place at 6-3. You know, so. It's going to be – I don't know, man. The NEC, man, obviously, Brian was able to get out to a hot start. But like you alluded to, Ace, you know, conference time, man. I mean, it's tough. You know, it's tough in conference. Now, you know, Brian's still, like I said, very much in the thick of things. You know, they're only one game out of first place, you know. But nonetheless, a surprising result, man. Also, you know, we're going to head over to the A-10 where St. Bonaventure was able to get a win over Mason, moving up to 7-1. In the A-10, good for first place, man. St. Bonnie's is for real, man. I mean, I don't know about, you know, anybody else, man, but they're going to have a big-time matchup this weekend that we're going to speak to a little bit later, you know. But St. Bonnie's, man, at 7-1 in the A-10. Obviously, like I said, mentioned also FDU getting a sweep over Bryant. So those were two of my biggest results out of the A-10 and the NEC.
You know, St. Bonnie's is for real, man. I definitely want to give them a shout out. They're currently at 33 in the net rankings. So the committee is seeming to show them some respect, man. I mean, they're a team that has put together extremely impressive conference performance. Obviously, they weren't able to get in very much of a non-conference, you know, schedule. They played Hofstra, they played Akron. Both were able to win both of those games. But, I mean, they're putting it together in conference play, man. I mean, they're currently the highest-rated team in the A-10 in the net rankings. They're at 33. St. Louis comes in at 38. So, I mean, St. Bonnie's is in play, man, for sure. I think the body of work they've put together, you got to start discussing it for potential at-large bid. But obviously because of their you know, non-conference, you never really want to bank on that. You know, you never really know what the committee can do come Selection Sunday, especially in a year like this. But, you know, for them to be 7-1 in the A-10 is definitely a statement. And I told people this before the season. If you go back to our first episode, I said St. Bonaventure was a sleeper in the A-10 that I didn't think anybody was talking about. Because, I mean, you have Kyle Lofton, you have Osun. Both of those guys were preseason A-10 all-conference selections. And, I mean, Mark Schmidt is a great, great basketball coach. I mean, year in, year out, as my guy John Rothstein likes to say, he's done more with less. I mean, they don't have the greatest facilities over there. They're another school over there in Buffalo in the middle of nowhere. They don't have the most glamorous arena. They don't, you know, have the greatest facilities, and they don't even necessarily have the biggest names. But those guys get it done over there in Western New York, man. So definitely want to give some kudos to St. Bonaventure for what they've been able to do over there.
Not for sure, man. For sure, man. You know, some more Northeast action, and we're gonna head to the American East where NJIT, man, and UMBC played to a split. NJIT was able to win the first game, and I mean, they have a wide open three. They're down by two. You know, they get a wide open three to win the game at the buzzer. That unfortunately does not fall. Then UMBC gets a rebound. You know, guy starts swinging his elbows, hits Zach Cooks in the face. Ref don't call a flagrant foul. There's no free throws. And UMBC ends up stealing that game on the road, man. Also in the American East, Hartford and Stony Brook played to a split, you know. So now we've got a two-way tie top of the American East between UMBC and Vermont. You know, they're both at 7-3. You know, but how about that NJIT and UMBC game? I mean, we were able to watch that game, man. I mean, NJIT was this close to getting a sweep, man, that they really needed to kind of move the needle for themselves in the American East.
Yeah, man. I mean, I was impressed with NJIT. They were able to get that first one, and they had a shot, like you said, to win the second game. One thing that's huge for them, I think, it seemed like Zach Cooks was able to get going a little bit in that second game. He had 22 points. And he looked like he was kind of getting back to his old self, man, getting that swagger back. They need him to be special. They need him to be, you know, the Zach Cooks that's getting 18, 19 a game. If they're going to be a player, man, they're 5-7 right now in the American East play. But, I mean, we've seen them, you know, they've gone on the road and beaten Vermont. They've gone on the road and beaten UMBC. So this team, you know, they're a good team, you know. So I think come American East Conference tournament time, if Cooks can continue to get going, that's going to bode extremely well for them. But they need him to get going. But if he can find a way to keep up his performances that he's been putting together over the weekend, I think you know the Highlanders will be in play in the American East for sure.
Yeah, man. Hey, man. Like you said, man. When you have a guy like Zach Cooks that you know can put the ball in the basket, man. You want him to start, you know, get the gears going around this time, you know, February, March. Obviously, he had 21 last night. So I mean, if they can get him going, man. Like I said, this was the guy who we spoke about earlier. About being a potential player of the year candidate in the American East. Now, like I said, he struggled early on, so I don't know if he'll get that this year. But, you know, if you're talking about, you know, potential and what he's capable of doing, you know, anytime you have a guy that is a player of the year caliber guy, you know, you're going to be in the mix. So we'll see, man. But, like, I do want to say, man, UMBC, man, and Coach Ryan Odom has done a great job with that team over there, man. I mean, we were able to see UMBC this year when they played Coppin, man. I mean, there's a very balanced team, man. You know, they got Brandon Horvath right now leading them in scoring. But, you know, obviously you got, you know, RJ Outerock and LJ Owens and Darnell Rogers. I mean, they have a lot of guys that can, you know, that can score it on any given night. It's not like you got have one guy that you can key on. Obviously, we saw last night Darnell Rogers had 17 points. You know, Brandon Horvath got off to a quick start, had 10 points, 9 rebounds, ends up fouling out. You know, and they, you know what, you know, just – pass it off to the next guy, man. RJ Adelrock has two huge and ones down the stretch there for UMBC, man. So they're gonna be a good team, man. I'm intrigued to see you know what happens in the American East come tournament time.
No, for sure. It's gonna be a fun conference tournament, man. I want to get to some other wins. A big one for me was Liberty goes to Jacksonville and gets a sweep to get the 6-2. In the Atlantic Sun. I mean, that was huge for them, obviously coming off some losses to go to Florida on the road and sweep a Jacksonville team. Obviously, earlier in the season, we talked to Liberty's best player, Darius McGee, and he talked about, you know, how hard it is to go down there and to get those wins. So I definitely want to commend them for going down there and getting a sweep over Jacksonville, man, and getting to 6-2. They're now back in first place. Obviously, you know, the week before, they had lost. They had split a weekend with Stetson, another one with Florida teams. But for them to get to bounce back from that loss, go and get a big sweep and get to 6-2 in the Atlantic Sun. That was huge for them, man. I mean, the Atlantic Sun is kind of getting jumbled up there at the top. Liberty is 6-2, North Alabama 6-2, Bellarmine is 6-2, all atop on the Atlantic Sun. And then you got Lipscomb and North Florida sitting at 5-3, a game back. So, you know, it's going to be a fun conference tournament, man. I still think Liberty is a favorite to win that league. I wouldn't count out Lipscomb sitting at 5-3 right now, but I think those are, like I said, like I've been saying, the two favorites in that league right now, man. But nonetheless, it's going to be a fun conference tournament in the Atlantic Sun.
Yeah, man. I mean, how about our guy, Darius McGee, goes for 25 in game two, you know, 3-for-6 from three, man. I mean, he's filling it up this year.
No, for sure, man. He's having a great year for them, man. I'm definitely, you know, hoping that they can, you know, make a tournament run. I'd love to watch him, you know, in the big dance, you know, on the biggest stage, going up against, you know, some great teams that they're sure to face when they get to the tournament, man. But another one that I want to point out, Boise State and Colorado State were able to split this weekend. Those are two, obviously, of the four teams in the Mountain West that have been battling for supremacy. Boise was able to split with Colorado State on the road this weekend, man. We're going to talk a lot about the Mountain West later, so I'll save a little bit of that for later on in the show. But a conference that we have not talked about is the MAC, and not the MAC that Drew and I play in, but the Mid-American Conference. Toledo. They were able to win to defeat Akron to get a split of the season series and snapped Akron's six-game winning streak. Obviously, Coach Keith Danbrot and Akron, man, those guys are an extremely well-coached team, and Akron's really good. But Toledo is 11-1 in the MAC. That is a really good team over there. They put together an impressive conference resume, man. They even got some votes in this week's AP Top 25 poll. They're obviously not ranked right now, but for them to get you know, get some votes was huge, man. I'm going to talk a little bit about Toledo later, but, you know, the MAC has been dominated by Buffalo over the past couple of years between Bobby Hurley and Nate Oates, you know, up there at Buffalo, man. You know, they've been in the tournament multiple years, got some wins in the tournament in the past. Obviously, Bobby Hurley is now at Arizona State, and Nate Oates is at Alabama. So the Buffalo is struggling a bit this year, and Toledo has taken the reins over in the MAC thus far, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, shoot, the MAC is a great conference, man. Obviously, we know, you know, I would argue, you know, the best player in that league is probably, you know, Jason Preston, you know, with, you know, guy that has potential NBA potential, man. But I think that, like you said, man, you know, when you, like, a team like Toledo, man, you know, it obviously sitting atop the league. We know what, like you said, what Buffalo can do, even though they haven't gotten out to the best start in that league. You know, Ohio's right there at 7-4. And like I said, when you have a potential NBA player on your team, you're going to be able to make some noise in that league, man. But like I said, man, I mean, excuse me, like you said, Toledo has definitely separated himself atop that league thus far, man. But like I said, man, you know, Coach Danbrot, you know, has done a great job. Actually, is Coach Danbrot, I think he's at Duquesne now, isn't he?
Is he?
Coach Danbrot, I'm pretty sure he's at Duquesne now.
Oh, I thought he was at
Akron.
Akron, they have Illinois' old head coach, Gross.
Oh.
He's at Akron.
Yeah, I'm about to say, because Coach Danbrot was definitely at –
Definitely is at Duquesne. You're right. My apologies. My apologies. John Gross is the head coach at Akron. He's obviously the former Illinois coach. He's over at Akron, and he has them playing extremely well right now. So that's definitely a great catch, Drew. A guy, shout out to John Gross and to Keith Danbrot for what he's doing at Duquesne, man. But I definitely want to shout out to Toledo. You said what?
I was going to say, yeah, man, Duquesne was able to get a win over Dayton this week. So, you know, shout out to Coach Danbrot over there as well.
For sure, man. I want to talk a little bit about Toledo, though, man. I mean, this is a team – they have five guys who average at least 12 points per game. I mean, they are an elite offensive team. They average over 81 points per game, and they are the seventh-ranked team in the country in adjusted offensive efficiency per KenPom, man. So, you know, they're averaging 117 points per 100 possessions. So they are an elite offensive team. They have five guys who average at least 12 points a game or more. They're averaging 81 a game, man. And like I said, according to KenPom, they're the seventh best offensive team in the country, man. So, as we know, come tournament time, you're going to need to put the ball in the bucket, man. And this team is elite offensively, man. So, if they can get in the march, they're going to get some teams some trouble for sure.
Hey, man, like you said, man, it seems like these dudes are there getting buckets.
Nah, dude.
Buckets.
Nah, they for sure are, man. And the committee seems to recognize this. I mean, they're coming in right now at 50 in the net rankings, man. So they're definitely a team that is going to be in play come tournament time, man. I mean, I think, you know, we haven't talked about them a lot on this show at all, man. But I definitely want to give them their respect, man. They got, you know, like I said, five guys averaging north of 12 points per game, led by Marion Jackson, who's at 17 points, 5 rebounds, and 6 assists. So they're definitely going to be a tough out come tournament time, man. So, you know, I definitely want to make sure that I point that out. Speaking of offense, man, I want to get to the Missouri Valley. Because obviously the two teams in the Missouri Valley that have gotten, you know, the brunt of the attention, and rightfully so, is Drake and Loyola Chicago. And it's honestly a contrast of two styles, you know, because – you know, Drake right now is fourth in the country in offensive rating, according to Fox Sports. And they came in, obviously, at 11th in the net rankings, man. But we've obviously talked a lot about Drake, who's still undefeated. They finally got some love, man, got into the top 25. You know, finally they came in at 25th in this week's AP poll, man. I'm glad that they finally, you know, gave him some respect, man, because Drake is a good basketball team, man. I can't wait for these two teams to play each other next week, and they're going to play the 13th and the 14th at Drake. I can't wait for those two teams to play, man. But Drake is a team, man, we talked about earlier, man. They are an elite offensive team, man. They're averaging 83 points a game. They got three guys that are averaging double figures, man. But, you know, they got about six guys that are averaging, you know, 7.5 points or more. They're fourth right now in the country in offensive rating. So, you know, they're an elite offensive team over there at Drake. And per contrast, their old Chicago is an elite defensive team, man. I mean, they came in 14th overall in KenPom. They're riding an 8-game winning streak right now. They haven't lost in almost a month. And then, obviously, you know, they're fifth in the country right now in defensive efficiency. They're only allowing 88.2 points per 100 possessions. Not per game, that's per 100 possessions. They're averaging – they're only giving up about 88 points per game, which is good for fifth in the country, man. So they're an elite defensive team. On the flip side, you have – Drake, who's an elite offensive team, man. So, I mean, definitely a contrast in styles over there in the Missouri Valley, man. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, what happens. But both of those teams have gotten some respect from the committee, man. I mean, Drake is currently 11th in the latest net rankings. Louisville Chicago is currently 14th. So, you know, the Missouri Valley is without a doubt in play. It's looking like, you know, they're turning towards two bids. Obviously, you know, Drake is the top 25 team in the country right now. They haven't lost yet. And Louisville Chicago is just – playing some amazing basketball right now. They're sitting at 15-3 overall, 10-1 in the Missouri Valley, man. So that's going to be a fun little race to watch down the stretch, and I cannot wait for those teams to play 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, for sure, man. That's definitely going to be a showdown, man. We know what, you know, Lawrence Kyle is capable of, man. Like I said, we did send them packing last year on the road at Coppin State. You know, shout out to my squad, man. But, you know, it seems like, you know, that loss versus us really has sent them into the upward momentum, man. You know, this year to come in this season, you know, they're 10-1 thus far in the Missouri Valley, man. Cameron Crutwig is playing amazing, man. I mean, the big fella is averaging, you know, 15, 6 boards and only 2.6 dimes. But I think that's a little underrated, man, because he's a guy that can definitely go out there and get you 8-9 assists in any given game, man. So they're an old team. They're an experienced team. You know, they got guys like, you know, obviously Crutwig and Lucas Williamson, who were on that Final Four team, who are now seniors and are still there. Obviously, Porter Motor is still there. So when you have a team that has that kind of experience and pedigree, you can never count them out.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, I think, you know, for them, you know, they're going to be a team that I think, you know, has gotten better with time. I've heard a lot of, you know, Kevin Sweeney, who's covered them, you know, extremely closely. He said that this team this year actually reminds him a lot of that team that went to the Final Four, just kind of their makeup and, you know, the way that they're playing, you know, throughout the season, man. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens between Drake and Missouri and Louisville Chicago. I've heard, you know, I've watched a few of those Missouri Valley games and just listening to the broadcaster speak. A lot of them, you know, seem to think that Louisville Chicago is actually a tad bit better than Drake. So, you know, obviously Drake is undefeated. They're right in the top 25 poll. But, you know, like you said, man, defense travels. So we're going to see what happens if that defense can travel, because they're going to be on the road when they go to Drake, you know, in a few weeks, man. So another conference that I want to talk about is the Mountain West. Obviously, we talked a little bit earlier. Colorado State and Boise State were able to get a sweep. We're able to get a split this past weekend, man. But, you know, those four teams, it's looking like this league is going to be a four-bid league. All four of those teams are currently ranked in the top 54 of the net. I think, you know, the committee definitely respects, you know, all four of these teams in this league. Obviously, Utah State, Boise State, San Diego State, and Colorado State are all very, very, very good basketball teams. Utah State dropped one to UNLV. Obviously, we talked about this last week, but, you know, prior to that loss, those four teams have not lost to anyone other than themselves. So, you know, that we talked about last week, is key when you're talking about at-large bids. You know, the good teams in the league, you know, cannot lose to the bottom teams in the league. Boise State is obviously first in that league right now at 10-1. They have a great win over BYU in the non-conference, man. Utah State is at 10-2, second place in the Mountain West. Colorado State is 9-3. And San Diego State, who, you know, people thought before the season started this was going to be the best team in this league. You know, they were a top 25 team. They're currently sitting at 7-3. In the Mountain West. Utah State actually, you know, owns a sweep over San Diego State, you know, which is gonna, you know, go well for them, you know, going into the future. Obviously, to be able to have that sweep over San Diego State, man. So I think this league is trending, you know, towards four bid territory, man. Some things that I want to point out was, you know, defensively, Utah State, they're currently 10th in the country right now in defensive efficiency. They're giving up 89.8 points per 100 possessions. Then San Diego State right now is 23rd. They're giving up about 91 points per 100 possessions. So those two are both, you know, elite defensive team, man. You know, as we continue to say, defense travels, man. So definitely want to make sure that I point out those two stats on Utah State and San Diego State, man. Both of those teams are going to be sneaky good teams, but I don't want to count out Colorado State, you know, who has an impressive body of work. They split with Utah State, obviously, earlier in the year, man. So I definitely want to make sure that I give them, you know, their respect. They also split with San Diego State, you know, so this team is no fluke. They are indeed a good basketball team, man. So I definitely want to make sure that I give them their due diligence as well, man. But the Mountain West right now is looking like it's trending towards four bid territory.
For sure, man. I mean, earlier on this podcast, we were talking about, you know, what's the best mid-major league on the West Coast in the WCC. Is it the Mountain West? Now, obviously, the WCC has a very, you know, weighted factor in there with Gonzaga. But, I mean, I think it's safe to say that right now, man, the Mountain West is the best mid-major conference, you know, on that side of the country, man. I mean, if they can, in fact, get four teams into the tournament, I don't think there will be any doubt to that fact at all.
Yeah, not for sure. Well, one thing that I wanted to point out, obviously we talked a little bit about this earlier, but the SoCon, you know, with those four teams up at the top with Wofford, UNCG, TSU, and Furman, we're going to find out a lot about, obviously I've been raving about this Furman team, you know, this whole year. I personally think they're the best team, you know, in the SoCon. They're currently at 5-2. I guess it's a pseudo fourth place, but they're, you know, tied in the loss column, you know, at two losses. But we're going to find a lot about them over these last eight games, man. I mean, they've got two games against UNCG, two games against Wofford, and they got to go to Mercer. You know, so their five of their last eight games are going to be tough ones, man. So if they can get through that gauntlet, that's going to tell me a lot about this Furman team. Obviously, you know, they've been a team, you know, they have a huge win in non-conference over a Winthrop team, you know, that previously was undefeated. And they beat them at Winthrop, you know, by about, I think it was 16, 17 points. So I've been high on this Furman team, you know, for a long time. I'm not going to jump off the bandwagon. Like, I still think that they are, you know, the best team in the SoCon. But I think if I had to pick a close second, I think I'd have to go with Wofford. You know, Storm Murphy, those guys are just so efficient offensively, man. I mean, they can beat you in so many ways. And they're really disciplined. They're another team that's great offensively. You know, they space you out. They have a lot of shooters. So I think those are going to be the two teams that I want to definitely watch down the stretch in that league.
Yeah, man. I think if I had to pick a team to kind of come out of the SoCon, I'm going to pick Wofford. Like I said, I think that they're just a team that's, you know, they're very efficient offensively. They do a lot of great things. I think Storm Murphy is going to be a guy that's going to be able to carry them where they need to go. Obviously, their coach now is at Virginia Tech. But Wofford is a team that has been in the NCAA tournament, that had that pedigree. So I think that they would be my pick, I would say. But like you said, man, I mean, it's sink or swim time, man. It's February. So we definitely will find out a lot about this Furman team very, very soon.
Yep. One more league that we haven't talked about a lot is the Horizon League. Wright State and Cleveland State right now, you know, it's looking like a two-team race up there. Cleveland State is currently at 12-2. Wright State's at 11-3. They split the series when they played. It was a weird series. They played at Wright State. Cleveland State was able to squeak out a two-point victory in game one, and then Wright State turns around and wins game two by 36 points. So, I mean, I think that's really going to be interesting to see, you know, how that shakes out down the stretch. But Wright State and Cleveland State, you know, right now are looking like, you know, those two teams are going to come down to a two-team race in that league, man. So definitely something to keep an eye on going down the stretch. Obviously, the Horizon League, man, you know, Robert Morris, the former NEC powerhouse, is now in the Horizon League. And they've struggled, man. They're 2-7 right now in the Horizon League, man, 3-9 overall. So they've struggled, you know, ever since obviously Valpo, you know, was in that conference. They're now in the Missouri Valley. And Cleveland State and Wright State, you know, have seemed to kind of, you know, take over, you know, at the top of that league.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm definitely glad. You know, I'm very happy to see that Cleveland State
you know, has rebounded from the shellacking Ohio gave them, you know, in the beginning of the season when they went on a 40-0 run, they ended up losing 101-46. You know, that game, you know, was their second game of the season. So maybe it was just, you know, it was just getting warmed up maybe at that point, you know. But I'm glad to see that, you know. Matter of fact, Cleveland State should thank Ohio. You know, they should really thank them for that performance, because that had clearly propelled them, you know, right into the conference play where they have a immense amount of momentum, man. So, you know, I think that, you know, they definitely rebounded, you know, from that 40-0 run. You know, it seems like now, you know, clearly they can't stop scoring now, you know, but I'm very pleased to see that they have been able to rebound from that performance.
Nah, for sure, man. I mean, shoot. If anything, that shows resilience, man, for them to be able to, you know, lose by, almost 50 points. They lost 101-46 to Ohio, another major. It's not like a, you know, you're playing Gonzaga or anything, you know, or Kansas or Baylor.
That's 55.
Oh, my God, my math is wrong. Wow, they lost by 55 points. They got doubled up. Boylan doubled up. 101. Wow. And then, look, they turn around in the next game and they play Ohio State and lose by 6 points. I mean, Ohio State is one of the best teams in the country. You know, I mean, so, I mean, I think that shows, you know, the resilience of this team, man. So I'm glad you pointed that out, man. I mean, I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens down the stretch in the Horizon League between them and Wright State, man. So they definitely want to note that, man. One thing I definitely do not want to make sure that I leave out here is Colgate. They were able to sweep Holy Cross this weekend and get to 7-1 in the Patriot League. Colgate is a really good team, man. I mean, they're ranked 15th right now in the net rankings in the country. 15th in the country in net ranking, man. And they are currently 5th in the country in offensive rating, man. I mean, this is an elite, elite, elite offensive team, man. I mean, I don't really know how else to slice it. They are going to be – I don't think they're going to necessarily – I don't think they're their player just getting the tournament. They're a player to win some games in the tournament just simply because of the way that they can, you know, put the ball in the basket, man. I mean, you know, I mean, they definitely surprised me starting the season, man. Obviously, BU was picked to win this league. They were supposed to play Holy Cross this weekend, but they weren't able to play. They're at 3-5 right now, and Colgate right now is sitting at 7-1 in the Patriot League, man. So – I definitely want to give them their due diligence, man. They've got 4 guys that are averaging double figures, man. So, obviously, they're led by Jordan Burns, averaging almost 18 a game, 6 assists and 5 rebounds, man. So, I definitely want to give them a shout-out, man. But they're averaging 86, almost 87 points a game. So, you know, they're an elite, elite offensive team, man. And obviously, come tournament time, you know, it's tough to guard, man. When you move the ball the way that they do and they shoot the ball the way that they do, they're going to be a tough out come tournament time.
Yeah, man. Like I said, like you said, man, those guys can definitely fill it up on the offensive end. So they're going to be a fun team to watch definitely come tournament time, man. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if they upset somebody, you know, come the big dance.
Sure, man. But now, man, it's time for our favorite segment of the week, the craziest thing we saw. So I'm going to let you go ahead and give this one, Drew, man. What was the craziest thing you saw this week in mid-major college basketball?
Yeah, man. I think, you know, this was a matchup, you know, between, you know, two guys who are small but mighty. You know, two guys who may not be the biggest, you know, but, you know, they definitely got a lot of game, man. You know, we had a matchup between 2 point guards, you know. First of all, you know, I'm going to go back to that UMBC NJIT game. You know, we had a matchup of 2 guys. You know, Zach Cooks led his team in scoring 21 points per game, you know, at an astounding 5'10", was towering over his matchup in this one, man. Darnell Rogers at UMBC, man, also was able to lead his team in scoring at 17 points per game, man. It was there at 5'2", man. Like I said, this is a guy who I had the pleasure of playing with Team Mello, man. Shout out to, you know, all those guys over at Team Mello in Baltimore, man. Super talented kid, man. You know, I mean, we all know his father was a all-time great at GW, another small guy, but got buckets. And it seems like Darnell Rogers is the same, man. You know, so 2 guys, you know, in this matchup, under 6 feet, you know, but we're able to kind of go blow for blow, you know, with the best of them, man. Darnell Rogers leads his team in scoring with 17. Zach Cooks leads his team in scoring at 21. So, you know, a matchup with 2 guys you know, who are small but mighty, you know, this weekend in Division I basketball.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, obviously, you know, like you said, if you watch that game, man, it really amazes me how Donald Rogers is able to finish at the rim over bigger dudes, man. It's like you ask, how are these dudes not punching this off the glass? But somehow, some way, he's great at creating contact for a little guy. I mean, he gets into your body and forces the contact, and he's great at finishing. I mean, a lot of guys can't finish with no contact, you know what I'm saying, at 6'5". And he's, you know, grossly – I mean, what is he? What is that, 5'3", something like that? Like
5'2".
5'2". And he's finishing through dude's chest. I mean, hitting step-back threes, get over contest, man. I mean, that dude is – it's amazing what he's able to do, man. Definitely shout out to him, man, and Jack Cooks as well, man. I mean, those dudes are out here. Like we said a couple weeks ago, man, Cooks, he fried us when we were at Quinnipiac. I gave us about 30. And that was a CIT game over at NJIT, man. So definitely respect to him. Both of those guys, man, it's great to see, you know, guys like that doing it, you know, at this level, at their size, man. So kudos to them, man. Now we definitely want to give you guys some games to look forward to this weekend, man. It's going to be a great weekend of college basketball, man. So I'm gonna let Drew start us off, man, with some A-10 action, man. What you got for us this weekend, Drew?
Yeah, man. Well, I think we got you know, two matchups for St. Louis that are going to be huge, man. You know, first, they're going to have a chance to get their first win of the season over LaSalle, man. I mean, this is a little scary, though, because they're going to LaSalle, man. And LaSalle, the team that plays a lot better at home. You know, they were able to get a win over URI at home the other day. Obviously, we've seen LaSalle upset Dayton already, upset Richmond already. I mean, I can't – this is enough. Like, St. Louis cannot lose to LaSalle. Like – they cannot lose to LaSalle. If LaSalle beats St. Louis, I mean, the A-10 can almost surely kiss their hopes of getting two teams in the tournament goodbye. You know, at this point, it would be, I mean, what? I guess St. Bonnie's, and then whoever wins the tournament, if St. Bonnie's is the win. So, I mean, if St. Louis wants to have a chance at an at-large, they absolutely cannot, you know, lose to LaSalle. And I mean, like I said, man, LaSalle has been the giant killer thus far, you know, already upsetting Dayton early in the season when people were expecting Dayton to be a lot better than they have shown to be thus far, you know, on the road. They were able to, like I said, beat Richmond on the road already. So now they get St. Louis. I mean, St. Louis cannot lose this game, you know. Not but – sure. Then they're going to go to – I mean, excuse me. Then they're going to face St. Bonaventure, man, on Saturday at 2 p.m. And, you know, St. Bonaventure, a team that's in first place right now. St. Louis is obviously a team that people pick, you know, to win the A-10. You know, so that's going to be an absolutely huge matchup. That's going to tell us a lot about St. Louis on Saturday.
Not for sure, man. I mean, like you said, St. Louis, I mean – it can't be understated enough the importance of this game, you know, against LaSalle for them. They're playing tonight at 7 o'clock, correct?
Yes, that game's gonna happen tonight.
Tonight at 7 o'clock, man. So once this podcast drops, make sure you guys, you know, head over to that game and watch St. Louis, man. I mean, they need to win this game. I mean, honestly, they've only played one conference game. They're 0-1 to 8-10. You know, I'm looking at the standing, and it's like, you know, they're second to last because they're 0-1. They've only played one game. So, you know, they've only played 9 games total on the year. You know, so they need to get some games under that belt. They need to get some momentum. It's February, man. You can't, you know, obviously you want to be playing your best basketball at this time of the year. They haven't even played. I mean, they played 9 games. Obviously, you need to get to 13 to even be tournament eligible. So, you know, they still need – you know, need to hope to play, you know, 4 more games. So they need to be careful what they're doing off the court as well to make sure that they can get to that, you know, 13 game mark, because they aren't there yet right now. At the tournament start today, they're not eligible for the tournament. So that's going to be huge for them, man. For me, a big game this weekend is going to be Winthrop at Radford. Those are the two best teams right now in the Big South. Winthrop obviously just took their first loss of the year. They're going to be traveling to Radford to play this Thursday and Friday. In a huge matchup of the two best teams in the Big South. Obviously, Radford, the team that's been to the tournament in past years. Obviously, Carleek Jones, their best player now, is in the ACC at Louisville, absolutely tearing it up. So, I mean, Radford is a great program. They're extremely well coached. And obviously, you know, Winthrop's going to be on the road. It's tough to win games on the road in college basketball. Nevertheless, you know, two games on the road. Radford's 10-2. Winthrop is 13-1. So, you know, in the loss column, if Radford were to be able to get a split here, I believe they'd still be a game back. But if Radford is able to get a sweep, then now we're really talking about, you know, a race, you know, for the Big South toward the end of the year, man. So, You know, this is going to be a huge, huge, huge series in the Big South for supremacy atop that league, man. So definitely going to be watching that Winthrop and Radford game Thursday and Friday in the Big South.
Now, for sure, man, definitely going to be a heavyweight bout over in the Big South. Washington going to have some action this week. You know, we got Monmouth and Manhattan on ESPNU on Friday, man, so the MAC getting some national TV spotlight. This is a game that actually was supposed to be played a few weeks ago, but got canceled due to COVID, man. So Friday at 9 p.m., make sure you guys turn your TVs to that. We also got QU and Fairfield, man. This is going to be a Sunday-Monday game. You know, as mentioned, how QU took an epic trip to Buffalo, were not able to play. You know, right now they're 2-4, man. They've only played 6 games. You know, there's teams like Marist and Niagara who have played 14 games in the MAC. You know, QU is well behind the 8-ball because of a shutdown, man. So they really need these 2 games. I think they really need a sweep, but they are going to be on the road. So we know how hard it is to sweep on the road. But, I mean, I think if they could pull that off and get back to 500, that would be huge. We're also going to have a Jersey rivalry, man. We got St. Peter's and Ryder teaming up this weekend, so we know how you know closely contested those Jersey games are. You know, like I said, I think you know St. Peter's is obviously going to be favored in this one, but you know, in the rivalry games, you never really know.
Yeah, for sure, man. Definitely, you know, in-state rivalries this week, you know what I'm saying, with the Jersey teams, obviously Connecticut rivalry with Quinnipiac and Fairfield, man. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how those games turn out, man. I'm definitely going to be tuned in, man. And speaking of rivalries, we're going, you know, to the SoCon. We used to talk a lot about this conference. Obviously, Furman has a huge, huge, huge week. Wofford is going to travel to Furman Saturday at 6 p.m. And then UNCG is going to travel to Furman Monday at 5 p.m. That's going to be an ESPNU game. That's televised for the SoCon, man. So Furman, we're gonna find a lot about this Furman team in the next week, man. You know, with their matchup, you know, on Saturday with Wofford and their matchup on Monday with UNCG. Both of those games are at home. So, you know, if you can get 2 wins there, get to 7-2 in the SoCon, I think that would definitely send a message. Wofford's currently in first place and UNCG is obviously, you know, also in first place. So, you know, we're gonna find a lot about this Furman team this weekend. So I'm definitely intrigued to watch those games. Definitely make sure you guys watch Saturday at 6, Wofford at Furman, and Monday, 5 p.m., UNCG at Furman.
Now, for sure, man, We're also going to have a couple big-time matchups in the American East and in the NEC between 2 teams at the top of those respective leagues. We're going to have UMBC at Stony Brook, man. You know, this is, you know, a team, obviously, I mentioned, you know, Vermont and Tyler first, man, but Stony Brook right now is in second. You know, so UMBC and Stony Brook is going to be a matchup, you know, of 2 teams, the top 2 teams right now in the American East. UMBC is going to be going to Stony Brook. You know, we saw them play to a split on the road at NJIT. Now they're going to go to Stony Brook. So, I mean, another big-time road test, you know, for UMBC, man. We'll see what they're able to do there. We're also going to have Bryan and Mount St. Mary's. Bryan is going to be returning home, obviously after getting swept by Fairleigh Dickinson, man. So we're going to have to see how Bryan's going to rebound, you know, after taking those 2 losses to FDU. You know, hopefully, you know, we'll see if they can get 2 at home to kind of get them back solidified at the top of the NEC. You know, but if not, then like you said, man, it's going to be a race, obviously between them and LIU and a couple other teams as well at the top of that league.
Not for sure, man. An interesting nugget, actually, on Bryant. They're in America in adjusted tempo. They average 76.2 possessions per 40 minutes. So, I mean, Jared Gross was over there running and gunning. You know, extremely high-powered offensive team, man. Extremely hard to guard, man, because they get up shots in a hurry. So, I mean, I think they'll figure it out, man. Obviously, they were able to get off to a great start to the season. You know, you're going to have your lumps of conference play, man, but definitely going to be looking forward to that matchup this weekend. For Bryant, man. Now going to the Mountain West, Boise State is going to travel to Nevada Friday and Sunday for a two-game slate. Obviously, we know Boise State, Utah State, Colorado State, and San Diego State are the class of the Mountain West right now. But Nevada is quietly in fifth place right now in the Mountain West, and obviously they're going to be on the road. Is Boise State? They're going to be on the road at Nevada. It's always tough to win, you know, on the road. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what happens with that matchup, man. So definitely Friday and Sunday, make sure you guys are tuned in. Boise State traveling to Nevada out of the Mountain West.
Yeah, man. Nevada's definitely going to be a sneaky game, man. Obviously, we know, you know, they're a talented program. Obviously, you know, a different group of guys. But, you know, they were in the Sweet 16 not too long ago, man. So, Definitely got to respect those guys over there. You know, they have a new regime over there. You know, Coach Alford is over there running the show. So, you know, they're going to be no slouch, man. No slouch for sure.
Now, definitely, man. I mean, the Mountain West is a fun conference, man. So I'm definitely intrigued, man. Nevada is currently sitting at 7-5 in the Mountain West, man. So in the San Diego State, 7-3, Colorado State, 9-3, Utah State, 10-2, Boise State, 10-1. So, you know, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what happens down the stretch. But, I mean, I think Boise State needs to get, you know, both of these wins. Quite frankly, I mean, you never want to lose to you know, in conference play. But obviously, they're right now in first place at 10-1. So, huge weekend for them, man. Nonetheless, some great basketball going to be being played this weekend, man. Make sure you guys tune in. Obviously, you know, it's Super Bowl weekend, man. You know, so now you guys are going to be watching the Super Bowl, man. I'm going to go ahead and ask you, Drew, man. Even though I think I already know the answer to this, who's your pick this Sunday in the Super Bowl, man?
Man, I'm going the Tom Brady Buccaneers. Let's do a little, you know, phonetic play. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to defeat the Chiefs this weekend. Brady's going to get his seventh Super Bowl title this weekend, man. He's already the greatest quarterback of all time, but he's really going to solidify himself as the greatest of all time, and Mahomes will never be able to catch him after he defeats him in the Super Bowl this weekend.
Yeah, you're going to be very disappointed. With Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, the boys are they're simply unstoppable. I mean, I know you remember, you know, that game when they played Mega Season. Tyreek Hill, 203 receiving yards, two touchdowns in the first quarter. He got on the foul line and was telling them help for them Tampa Bay defensive backs, man. I mean, they're trying to play press man on Tyreek Hill. I mean, come on, bro. You can't guard Tyreek Hill. You can't guard Travis Kelce. And we know another interesting stat for you. Pat Mahomes has a higher QBR. Everybody talking about, oh, this Tampa Bay front seven, they're going to be able to get pressure on it without blitzing, blah, 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 blah. Patrick Mahomes, under pressure, has a higher QBR than any other QB in the league without being pressured. Like, regular QBR, it's Mahomes being pressured, and then everyone else. I mean, it's almost criminal how good this dude is. He's the greatest quarterback of all time. He's going to prove it on Sunday. He's going to beat Brady, and he's going to win his second ring in as many years, and he's going to cement his place as the GOAT. You heard it here first. Mahomes, greatest quarterback of all time.
Mahomes has a long, 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 long way to go before he's the GOAT. Long way to go. He has a lot of rings, you know, to kind of catch up, you know. But I don't know, man. You know, the Chiefs are going to be without some critical pieces on that O-line. Obviously, we know Eric Fisher tore his Achilles last week, man. And Tampa Bay's front is no slouch, man. Jason Pierre-Paul, Dominic Sue, they got Devin White, obviously one of the best linebackers in the league, man. I mean, if you don't got your O-line, man, you're going to be able to get to the quarterback, and they don't have to blitz. They don't have to blitz. Now, Tampa Bay is one of the best teams in the league at rushing four. And now, like you mentioned,
I said while pressured. I said while pressured.
They're not going to pressure. It's going to be
getting to the quarterback is pressure. No, no. Huh? You're talking about blitzing. Yeah, that's fine. I'm saying they can send whoever they want, but Patrick Mahomes under pressure, not blitz, under pressure. Patrick Mahomes has the best QBR in the NFL.
Maybe true.
It don't matter.
Tampa Bay's going to be able to get guys in coverage, you know, and hopefully get by his own guys like Kelce and Tyreek Hill and not blitz, not going to load the box up. They're going to send four guys, and they're going to be able to get – I think they're going to be able to get to Mahomes, man, in the backfield, man. Like I said, guys like Sue, Jason Pierre-Paul is playing out of his mind, you know, right now. So I think they're going to be able to get pressure to Mahomes and get him on the ground, man. I think if they can get him on the ground and get them off of the field, they'll have a chance.
And send four, cover four, Mahomes, by four, 27-23, Chiefs, calling it here. You heard it here first. But that's going to do it here first. You heard our Super Bowl picks. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the Auto Bid, man. Make sure you guys are getting ready for March Madness. Stay tuned with us, man. We are the only mid-major podcast coming to you on a weekly basis in the country. So make sure you guys are tuned in to all of our content, man. Like, give us a rating. share, and engage with us on social media, man. You know what I'm saying? If you watch this podcast, leave us some comments on social media, man. You know, we love to start a conversation with you guys. Tell a friend about the auto bid, man. Make sure you guys are, you know, engaging with our content, following us on social media at All Facts Media on Twitter and Instagram. And as always, man, we're going to let our guy pull up Tay, take us out with some tunes, baby. So until next week. It's time to get a check, boy. Check, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me. What's the topic of discussion? What we talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm drawing in the clutch, boy.